Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. What a time we're facing these days. I said, what a challenging time our country is facing these days. So much in the news. The things that are important to me are not so much the presidential races as much as it is to see what's happening to the generation that is alive today. Of how suicide has increased by absolutely unbelievable numbers, and how depression, and how doctors are seeing people who are depressed, people who are jumping off of bridges and off of skyscrapers. These are things that are untold in the news because they don't want to make a fuss, but there are people that are very depressed today. And maybe that's you this morning because you did not hear the news that you were expecting. You're waiting for this great battle that's about to ensue to take place, and you're crossing your fingers and you're praying that God do something. Well, I guarantee you, God indeed will do something. God indeed will do something. Because every time that the nation has found itself in dire straits, God has always done something. Always. But here's the catch to this whole thing. It's what he does that should be important to us, and why he will do what he will do to the nation. Easy today, there are the hearts of people today who are feeling righteous and say, we've chosen the right candidate, or we've believed in liberal things or in conservative things, whatever it is that your party is. And God is gauging your position. And God is looking at your heart, and he knows why. Around the world today, as the people are brokenhearted, and there are those who are celebrating in the face of those who feel failure. God will do something. And God is going to work on our country. But it's important for us to know why and how he will work with our country. Because God is not going to work on our country because the elected president you decided should be didn't make it. That's not his motivation. It's not because the desired presidential candidate that you didn't want won the candidacy and now sits in the White Office. He's not going to work on the country because of those motivations. He's going to work with the people in this country, in this nation, as he has along all these years, according to where the nation was in their heart. What have we been doing? How did we end up in this place? How do we find ourselves in this position? Never in the history of our country, we are told, have we faced such an incredible amount of events. And we're thinking God's going to do something, and in our hearts we're trusting that God's going to do something in our favor. When the fact of the matter is that God will do something in his favor. Somebody say amen. You see, God's going to do something in our country that's righteous to him, not to me. I had a particular candidate that I thought should win because he resembled the things that I believe scripturally should be enforced and followed after. But there's such a great battle. And so now my prayer might be, Lord, work in us. Fix this thing. And deep in my heart, I'm saying, Lord, get after that other guy. Get a hold of everybody's neck and shake them, Lord. But me, because I'm choosing the right person, work with me righteously. And God says, I'm not going to work with anybody according to the righteousness in their own heart. I'm going to work in this country with what I think it needs. This morning, let me just quickly, but not lightly, commend every one of our veterans. Are you a veteran today? Would you quickly stand to your feet? Maybe we have few people are coming. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, make it loud. We salute you. We salute you. And we thank you for your service. Please be seated, gentlemen. You are the pride of our country, and we thank God for you and your service. I realize that today, this coming Wednesday, I believe it is, it's actually Veterans Day, but we normally celebrate it across the years, the weekend before, or when it's on the weekend. Well, on that weekend, we take time to speak on behalf and to our veterans. But today is such a challenging time. And actually, it's because of you three gentlemen here and every veteran across the face of this earth that I think it's important for us to talk about these things today just a little bit, if I can. I've got about 100 pages I need to go through today, and that should take us in well into Monday or Tuesday. But I'm just going to pick up whatever the Lord drops in my heart today and talk about our country and talk about where we are at and how we ended up in this position. See, in the Bible, we have a people that belong to God, the people of Israel. And we have testimony of this people, a great testimony of how they came to be, of how they were birthed out of the very womb of God, how it was the Lord that brought them out and gave them a name and prepared an inheritance for them and spoke goodwill to them, gave them promissory faithful note that they would be a people like no other people in the world. That they would be the envy of the world. And when people talked about Israel, they would say, wow, what a people. What a blessed and faithful people. But if you read a little history and read a little Bible, and I pray that you should and would, you'll find that the people of Israel, that nation that God Himself put together, missed so many marks. Make so many marks in their life that caused God to work on their lives, but not necessarily the way they wanted Him to work. This past 4th of July, we prayed for our country, and all this is going on. And of course, I am ill through this whole thing, and my heart was very heavy. Not because of my sickness, but my heart became heavy because of what was going on in our country. And it was during those times that I really couldn't come to talk to you to keep you in check. I've titled this message, and it's a title that you've heard before. Those of you who have been over here 15 years or so, I spoke on this very same subject because it seems like, again, just like Israel, we have gone through this time and time. I've given the title of this message, One Nation Under God, or One Nation Under. Think about that just for a second. One nation under God, or we will be one nation simply under. And by the looks of this situation right now, it seems that under God is something that is far. And the events going on today and the destruction and the disappointments that we are going through seem to reveal to us that we are a nation under right now. Nobody can handle the trials that we're going through. No one can stop this crazy, unstoppable whirlwind that we are in today, this destruction, this hatred. Cities being burnt down, families being destroyed, people being killed. And the process keeps going on and on and on. And while the people, you and I, are arguing about who should sit in the chair in the White House. Amen? That's all you hear on the internet. We're arguing about who it is that should live in the White House. And we pay a little attention to what's going on with the hearts of the people and how they've gotten to such a dark place. How this nation now is spinning out of control and there's no one to stop it. Do we honestly think that Donald Trump is going to stop this whirlwind of sin? Please, don't be so naive. And I'm not speaking against him. Do we really believe that Biden has the right plan as to bring us all together and harmonizing and living in joy and all of a sudden all the burning and the chaos and all this junk that's going on, all of a sudden, gone? Let us not be so naive. Ladies and gentlemen, this world is out of control because we have let it get out of control. It was never the plan of God for this United States to live in such a circumstance and situation as today. Gosh, I don't want to be too long. I take my thoughts this morning, if you allow me, out of the book of Judges. And I'll move quickly and I'll tell you that if you have ever read the book of Judges, it doesn't take very long to discover that this very book is a very dark book in the Bible. It's not a very pleasant book in the Bible. In fact, it is noted as one of the darkest books in the Bible. It's a time when God had to take a hold of Israel's neck so many times to shake them to their senses again. It's a time when God had to speak strongly. It's a time when God's leadership lost the strength in their knees and they crumbled at the face of sin and could not handle the force of evil that was coming over the people. The book of Judges describes a time, I believe, in one short passage, and I'll read that to you in a second. It tells us that during that time of Judges was a time when the people had no strong leadership. And the nation was in great distress and suffering. People found themselves in the middle of great turmoil. And the simple verse that I'll use today just to talk to you a little bit and hopefully get us to understand that, ladies and gentlemen, we should get our heads out of the White House and get our heads in with Christ and our hearts with God and begin to pray for our people in this nation. That God would begin to move amongst us. Did you know that it's very possible that we as believers are part of the problem that we are facing today? And trust me, I've had more time than you to think about this. I've been home for 7 months. And seeking God as to why. The book of Judges chapter 17, guys, if you can, verse 6. It simply says, in those days there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in whose eyes? In their own eyes. They had no king in Israel, and everything they did according to what they thought was right. Isn't that what's happening today? Everybody is doing what they think is right. Anytime you leave a man to himself, anytime you leave a family to themselves, anytime you leave a community, a city, a state, a country, a world by themselves, it won't be long before they find themselves deep in trouble. And this was the case of Israel. Let me simply remind you that it was the heart of God and His grace that developed this country. He developed and brought out this people and delivered them from a horrible slavery in Egypt. He led them through the wilderness, giving them blessing on top of blessing. They were a favored people. They were a chosen ones of the Lord God Almighty. He led them, He fed them, and He protected them. And ultimately, He would lead them to the land of Canaan, which was their promised land. It was a land, you all know, flowing of milk and honey, and it was given to them by the sovereign will of God, the people of Israel. And I simply want to use their testimony because I want to kind of parallel it with our country. Isn't that the same thing that has happened to us in America? The fact is that our country was born under Christendom. It was born in our Judeo belief and trust in God. It was born out of the bosom of the Lord. It was God's faithfulness, His lovingness, and His protective desires to show a people that He loved them. He rebuked and gently rebuked the people of Israel many times in Scripture, as He did in Deuteronomy 4 and 7. The Lord says, "What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to Him? And what other nation is so great to have such a righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today?" He was saying, listen, guys, what other country is so blessed to be a nation under God? See, the Lord gave Himself to the people of Israel. And over 200 years ago, God gave Himself to America the beautiful. But in spite of the blessings, in spite of the trust that God had in this people, the people defiled the land and forgot the law. And the Lord was forced to judge His people. Remember, not according to their own righteousness or their own belief system, but according to the righteousness of God, what He thought would be right. That can be a scary thing. Can you say amen? If God takes a hold of America, ladies and gentlemen, and He works with America the way He thinks He should, that could be a scary thing for all of us. Amen? I hope nobody is saying, "Wow, Pastor, that's a real downer that you're talking about." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm getting you to think about what really is going on spiritually in this world of ours and this nation of ours. It's not about the presidency. That has been used simply as something to thwart your eyes or to entertain you while all of this is taking place. We stand today on the eve of 240 years, I guess, of our nation. And we know that just like Israel, God's grace was the one that founded this beautiful country. And regardless of the general consensus, there is no dispute in the fact that this is a Christian nation. Can you say amen? And there is no question that God Himself had His hand in the formation of this country. But over the years, we have left them behind. Yes, even the church. even the church. What have our churches become these days? What is it that we do in the house of God anymore that is really connected to He who established us as a people? There's such a challenge today around us. The church, the business of the church now has become such a competitive business. That we now come in to find who was better and who was not, and who voted for this and who voted for not. And all this time, our minds and our eyes are involved with all these negative things that we forget that all this time our hearts are decaying without God. The Lord had an instruction, and I'm going to go ahead and get to the meat of my conversation with you today. The Lord has a very serious dispute with the people of Israel in the book of Judges and almost along the whole history of their relationship. The Lord always told His people never to mingle with sin. Please listen to me carefully. He always told His people never mingle with sin. Never mingle, do business with sinful people. I have made you self-sustaining by my hand. I created you as my people, and I will provide for you. I will heal you. I will feed you. I will protect you. All these things. Never do business with the world. Otherwise, you will become just as the world. You remember the times of Samuel. It was 40 years that Samuel was the voice of God over the people of Israel. And one day the people began to argue with Samuel, and they began to say, "We want a king just like every other tribe. We want a king." And Samuel was heartbroken because they took him and they threw him out of his office. And he knew they didn't know what they were doing, but he couldn't handle them. The only thing he could do was go to God. And so Samuel goes to the Lord and says, "These people want a king. I'm not dressed in royalty. I'm just a man of God. I don't have a big old stallion, white horse, and I don't carry a 30-pound sword. They're crying for a king, God." And he was upset. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Listen, Samuel, don't be all hurt. It's not you that they are rejecting. It's me. They're the ones that are arguing with me. They don't want me to tell them what to do anymore. This is why they are removing you. But don't worry, I'm going to give them somebody that's going to deal with them in a very stern way." And we know the rest of the story. And so the Lord always told His people, never mingle with those outside of you. And as He led them to Canaan, to their America, to their place of inheritance, He said, "There are people there and around that you are not to do business with. You are to throw them all out. But you will find," and boy, it's a lot of information for me to give you. Maybe I should do this in a couple of weeks. Instead of doing what God said concerning the cleaning of their country, they ended up betting and doing business with everything that was negative. You guys know the story. But He said, "I want you to throw the Canaanites out because they're not going to teach you anything good. They're going to teach you go back and follow their false idols. You need to get them out. I am giving you a clean place and I will provide for you. Do not do business with anybody like that." But you will find in the book of Judges You will find testimony that the people of Israel disobeyed God. And instead of throwing people out and not learning their traits and their habits, they began to embrace them and use them as a useful commodity. Judges 2 and 31. This is the Lord upset already because he saw no one leaving that land he had given to the people. The angel of the Lord went up to Gilgal from Bochim and said, I brought you up out of Egypt and led you into the land that I swore to give your forefathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Whatever I told you I'm going to do, stay in that place. Don't worry. I've got your back. I will bless you. I will feed you. I will protect you. And you shall not make covenant with the people of this land, but you shall break down their altars. You shall break down their altars, whatever they want to teach you concerning God. Get away from that. Then he says, yet you disobeyed. Why have you done this? They didn't realize that a little leaven was going to leaven the whole lump. Are you with me this morning? They didn't realize that a little leaven was going to leaven the whole lump. And we have story and we have testimony here of some of the reasons why they didn't argue and fight with the Canaanites. For one, we have in Judges 6:2, the fact that they feared the people. You know, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that today when you talk about the LGBT, you talk about the forces of abortion and all these things, our leadership is afraid to face people like that. You know what a minority it really is? What a small minority it is. All those people that are screaming for these things is a minute little small percentage of people. Yet the government is afraid to face them. And therefore, we allow them to function and to move around just thinking it'll be okay. They're just a little bit of people. But you don't know that they are infecting generation after generation. And the Bible tells that the people of Israel feared the Canaanites. That they built shelter for themselves away. They said, we don't want to deal with these people. They're strong people. And sometimes we make business and do business with sin in our lives because we're afraid to face it. And God says, face it. Get it out of your life. That we can continue in our contract and I can be faithful to you. And when it comes to judge, the time to judge the land, I will judge accordingly. And you're going to be safe because you will have done what I ordained you to do. But they feared. And they kept them there in the land that began to contaminate Canaan. For some other Canaanites, we find in Scripture the Israelites found benefit in. They said, let's not run these people out because they can be useful to us. They are talented. Judges 1 and 28, when Israel became strong, they pressed the Canaanites into forced labor but never drove them out completely. Why? Because they could benefit from their labor. But that's not what God had told them to do. They said, these guys are talented people. Let's just keep them here and they can help us get stronger. And they were facing things and looking at things that God was not looking at. The Lord was looking at them being obedient and getting these people out. And we find that others, they simply got used to. Other Canaanites in Canaan, they simply got used to. But Manasseh said, did not drive out the people of Bethshad or Tanakh, nor Dor, nor Ilibam, or Megiddo. Their surrounding settlements for the Canaanites were determined to live in that land. They said, well, if they're going to live here, let them live here. Today we have people from all walks of life filling our governmental offices. Not as Christian people, not as people that believe in God, but people that have brought their own idols in here. Our cities today are filled with mosques. Today we have a group of people everywhere just teaching, teaching, teaching. California is now today indoctrinating our children. And at 7 years old, they have the legal right to choose their gender. They're having transvestite people going into our schools to talk and tell story times of how it's okay to be a man but live as a woman. This is not going to happen. This is happening today. With everything we're facing today, ladies and gentlemen, you see, we're going to be so surprised. And all of this I'm here to tell you simply that we need to pray for our country because God is going to deal with our country. But again, I need to remind you, he's not going to deal with our country simply because Trump didn't win and Biden did, or vice versa. He's going to deal with the country because of where we are at right here. Maybe I shouldn't have come today. What a downer sermon. But I'm trying to save your life. I'm trying to save your life. I'm trying to get you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to get out of CNN. And now Fox is fake news too. Everything is fake. Amen? So now you're looking for somebody else to lean on. You know, there's a scripture, and I know I have it here, but and it's actually out of the message. Translation. And I like the way it reads, and so I put it out here for you. Let me see if I can find it. But it speaks about Pharaoh and Egypt, that how there are people who lean and trust in Egypt. Amen? He said, but Egypt is like a rubber crutch, it says. Egypt is like a rubber crutch. That whoever leans on that rubber crutch will end up flat on his face. And so I say that today, that every news channel that you're trying to lean on is a rubber crutch. There's only one news that we should be listening to. And that's the Lord. We should be receiving our information through prayer. If anything else, and we hear nothing else, hear that God does not want you mixed up with this junk. He wants you to be separate. He's drawn the line in the sand. God is going to deal with America. Trust me. He's going to deal with America. And right now, Christians all over the world are saying, Lord, deal with America and deal with Biden and every liberal individual. And God say, no, they're just like you. They're just like you. No, no, Lord, no. No, no. We believe in the wall. God's going to look at our hearts, ladies and gentlemen. And today I am praying with what I'm saying today. I told you this through the internet as I recorded this invitation for you to come to church, that this would not be a shout me down sermon, and I see how quiet you are. Maybe I should have come out here wailing my pistols and blessing and everything else. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? It will be of no avail that I talk to you about how God wants to bless you if your heart is not settled right. I want our hearts to be settled right. I want people to know that here at Rock of Ages, we're not depending on Trump. He's not our God. He's a good man, I cannot deny. We're not depending on Biden. How crooked or how straight he might be, his crookedness will not affect my life. I'm not leaning on him. We need to be a people who are holding on to God. See, the Lord, just like Israel, the Lord, just like Israel, he chose this country. This is why we are a nation under God. Look around what's happening football, a band, high school bands are refusing to come out to play the national anthem. People don't want to sing. Take God out of this. Take God. The world is going crazy. And we're putting all our chips on one man to change that. No. The people put all their chips on Saul to solve their problems. And Saul messed up and paid difficultly for his mistakes in the Lord as well. He is a human being. It was up to us. The only time salvation came to the city and to the people were when they bent their knees. And they said, Lord, teach us. Jeremiah 29:11 is a very important passage. And I heard this man preach about it just the other day. And it really blessed me. He said, the Bible says, stand at the crossroad. And America, ladies and gentlemen, is at a crossroad today. Stand at the crossroad. And ask for the ancient path and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. We are at a crossroad today. What are you going to do? We are at a crossroad. What choices are we going to make? If you want to know, ask God. He said, ask for the ancient path. And what is that ancient path except to get away from the stuff that's going on. To not follow the ideologies of people in this world that will lead you how to serve gods other than the real God. To live lives as politicians. The Lord did not call us to live lives as politicians. Now all of this I'm not saying because you shouldn't care what's happening. What I'm saying, don't get so engulfed that you become galvanized that's all you are now. Ask for the ancient path, and he said, ask and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. And I believe that America will stop and ask for the ancient path and come back. Then God will deal with us righteously. But if you read that passage continuing, it says, but you said, we will not walk in it. And that's what America is saying right now. We will not walk in it. And so I finish today as I begin. God is going to do a work in our lives. And so, and what I'm telling you today as I close is walk in the path. So that when the work comes, the work will be complementive to you, not destructive. Would you stand to your feet with me? We've got our children to think about. Can you say amen? We've got our children to think about. Some of us of age, for me, in my age, however long the Lord keeps me here, I worry about my grandchildren. I worry about the world that we are leaving behind for them. I'm really worried about the condition of the church that we're going to leave for our grandchildren and our babies. That if we don't get it right and go back to the crossroad and ask for that ancient path and begin to walk according to God's will in our lives, our children will never have a chance. Because all they're going to do is, because of their naiveness and how young they are, is to follow and become just as is the world. You know, the Bible says that every man of God in Scripture passed on and died. And that proves to us, ladies and gentlemen, that those who carried the law and walked accordingly, men such as Moses and Joshua and all these people, they died away. And the Bible tells us that the generation came after them did not know God. They didn't know the Lord. They didn't know what God wanted of them. They didn't know how God wanted them to live. You see, the old-time religion, if you will, and the ordinances of the Lord were kept safe in the heart of preachers and people of old, and then they died. And then you had the children grow up and said, what God? I didn't understand. This is why the commandments always told us that we should take time to express and to tell our children about the Lord. Because this is the only chance they have. If we die, if we fade out, if we don't get ourselves in line with what God is wanting us to do, your children, listen to me, this is not an ill desire. This is just a matter of fact. Your children have no chance. If you're not taking time at home to indoctrinate your children with the ways of the Lord and teach them how to pray, how to love God, how to come to church, how to dance before God, how to be a witness, how to stay away from dirty kids, how to deny certain things in their lives. If you're not doing that with strength and tenacity, ladies and gentlemen, your child does not have a chance. The pool of hell in this world today is so strong. It's unbelievable. The pool of hell is so strong for our young people. We've got people, young people in the church. And I don't care if you get all hurt with me, but there's some of you young people who are liberal. And you'll see some of your friends say, oh, I have a girlfriend, a lesbian friend, and you like it. Shame on you. Then you have somebody who says, oh, I'm 19 and my friend in high school and I just had an abortion. Like, you can get angry with me, do whatever, that's fine. If your parents don't tell you, I will. Oh, I just met a girl and I'm living. Now we're living together and we're checking it out. We'll get married one day. We're just living together outside of marriage. Like, you're such a beautiful couple. That's young people today in the church. I have no business talking about the lost. That's a natural for them. I'm talking about our kids here. Do you not realize? You see all the chaos in Portland and Chicago. Black lives matter. Yes, they matter. So does every other life matter. And they can understand that it's a race thing. That's not going to help anybody. Oh, you can get hurt with me. I should have quit 10 minutes ago. But in our church, our young people, I see it. I have Instagram. I have Facebook. This is why I've never wanted that junk. They told me somehow it would help the church and communicate. It doesn't help anything. It's a bunch of junk. It doesn't help a thing. I only put the pictures of my grandchildren. But what it does, it's done, it's broken my heart when I see our own kids liking stuff that is of the devil, man. And now let me leave our young people alone. I'm talking about some of the ladies in the house. I'm talking about some of the men, the adults in the house of God, playing with that kind of demonic junk. Like, all of us have the potential of falling into that pit. We need to be careful. Jesus is coming. And he's not going to wait for you to push like or not. He's going to come and he's going to work on this country. He's going to work on our young people. And it's going to be a difficult thing for us to recover from. But we will recover. It was the psalmist who said, he has wounded me and broken me, but he has repaired me and healed me. But wow, it sure hurts to be broken. So why be broken? Change your mind now. Let's live righteous lives before the Lord. And let's pray for our country. Let's pray. And let's believe God The White House, listen, God is the one who installs kings on every throne. And you need to trust that if somebody has somehow fraudulently taken the throne, trust me, God will take him out. Because it's not his. We have proof of that in Scripture. When they tried to take the throne of Solomon, they tried to take the throne of men of God, God came in and took care of business. He said, no, I didn't give that to you. Move out of the way. So let's trust the Lord. Amen. How many will trust the Lord with me today? Father, we worship you and we thank you for your goodness. Lord, my heart is broken today. I feel such a joy to be here behind this pulpit. And God, but the message that you pour in my heart, God, is one that challenges me. We are a people that are so used to talking about blessing and overcoming. And yes, that's who we are. But Father, right now it's a crucial time that we need to get out. There's a season for everything. There's a time to rejoice and there's a time to be serious. And there's a time to pay attention to what's going on outside in this world where we should take time to take care of ourselves and make sure take inventory of our children. Take inventory of where our hearts are in you, Lord. Father, I pray for our country. Before I pray for the White House, I pray for our country and the people who are looking at everything that's happening and they're frozen, they're galvanized, they're getting depressed, they're committing suicide, they're taking pills. Father, they are in bed just under the covers thinking that the world has fallen apart simply because what they were looking at as success did not come to be fulfilled. Get our eyes out of the gutter, Father, and help us to look up to heaven and to trust you for our country. This is a country you've given us and no one can take it away. You have protected it for over 200 years, Lord, and you'll do the same. We've had the strongest military and protection, Father God, any country. We are the strongest country in the world. We are a recognized power, but it's not because of us. It's because of your grace and your mercy. Please help us to value. Help us, Lord, to do what is right to strengthen our country. And the way we can do that is by living righteous lives. By allowing you to become that God on which we stand and believe and trust. Not get involved in the junk that's going on. We pray for the White House. According to the direction that you want our nation to go, Lord, so fill the White House. The conservatives say one man will do it. The liberals will say another man will do it. But Father, we know that man can do nothing without you. Help us. Help us to pray. Help us to believe. Help us to know that it was you who appoints kings to kingdoms. And so we leave this in your hand. The news, let them worry about their own mess. Let them worry about their own mess. Let us look to you and trust you for this. Let us trust you in all things. I bless every family that is represented, every brother, sister, and child, a young person. Help our young people, Lord, be strong. Seek the Lord and your righteousness. Help us as parents to direct them and give them leadership as well, that they might know that which is right. For our babies, Lord, help us to teach them God, lest we are gone tomorrow and they are left in the hands of someone who will lead them astray. Help us, Lord. We thank you for your goodness and we bless your holy name. Bless our veterans, God. bless them today, and I thank you for their sacrifice and their willingness to serve. It's because of them, Lord, that I feel jealousy as well, that we need to protect what they have fought for. And so many gave and paid the ultimate price that we should keep America. It's for them, Lord, that we give honor. It's for them, Lord, that we rise up as well and gather our strength and say, because our veterans, willing men and women, the children of our country have surrendered the highest price to give our country a chance. And so we as believers, help us, Father, to be strong and to stand against the wiles of the devils and pray that this country continue to be a nation under God and not a nation under. In the name of Jesus, I pray and give you thanks. Amen and amen. God bless you this morning.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.